Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Good morning, Nina Burns. Good morning.
Good morning, Ryan. You're looking very dapper today.
I'm going to Dunleary to the IADT.
What does
that stand for?
It's the Institute of Art and Design Technology, is it?
It's something like along that. Those lines. Yeah. And it's where students are learning. Apparently, it's state-of-the-art movies.
They have a whole new film school. I drove by. I think they're building or have built a whole new school. It looks fantastic.
Well, I was doing a thing for kids, a reading thing called Failsha in Dunleary not so long ago. And then a lady was at it and she tapped me on the shoulder and said, could you come and talk to our students in the college in Dunleary?
Great.
And I said, well, if you can make it early enough so that I can then be free to do my own stuff with my own gang, that's okay. So they very kindly did. So at 12, I'll be up there talking to students and doing there's a Q&A, and then I'll talk to students about me on radio and media, and which is easy.
Well, it's obviously very important too, because you clearly made an effort with your appearance.
Well,
today.
That's very
not
kind
that you
of
don't
you.
Always
no,
run,
no, no, but you know, that the jeans are you know, I'm just, you know, and but no tie. I decided that students don't want a tie.
Slightly. Yeah, yeah.
Now, I haven't seen you for the last week or two because you've been obviously doing your own thing, and business is good, I take it.
Business is good. As you know, Ryan, I launched my new practice in January. So it's Generation Health. So it's going great. Really good staff working with me. Great bunch of patients. Our website will hopefully be up in the next week. God love the poor guy doing the website got a really bad flu.
Oh, dear.
Which delayed us. But we are very nearly there. And so I'm really keen that the website becomes an integral part of the business as well. So in the next few weeks, look up www.generationhealth.ie. It should be up very soon. And there'll be lots of info. And obviously, if you live in Dublin 15, we're happy to welcome any
patients.
That's
where to go.
Plenty of place for everyone. Yeah.
I read this book on my week off by John Ronson. He's a documentary maker and he's written lots of things about the men who stare at goats and the psychopath test. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
No, I haven't.
And he's written this book called So You've Been Publicly Shamed.
Oh,
and
right.
This book is, it's short. It's like a really good newspaper article. But it's about, he follows the case of about five people who became famous for a week or two because they sent a tweet that was inappropriate.
Oh, right. Okay.
By accident. And he weaves it in with the story of public shaming from the crowds back in the day and how the mob would come and get them. And how Twitter has, you know, the bad guys on Twitter, of course it's good guys, would kind of vulture, like vultures, come in and pick at the carcass of this person and then dump them. And he went and visited the carcass and said, so how was it for you?
That sounds really interesting.
It's intriguing.
I might buy that book.
So this Justine Sacco would be a perfect example. Yeah. She was the woman who got on a plane to South Africa and sent a tweet saying, going to South Africa, don't worry, I hope I don't get AIDS. No, don't worry, I won't because I'm white.
All right.
Grossly offensive to people who would be grossly offended. Thought nothing of it. Got 11 hours later, landed in South Africa and got texts from her friends and calls saying, you need to call us.
Yeah.
Because by the time in the 11 hours it went so viral, there'd been a hashtag saying, has Justine landed yet?
Oh my God.
And when she got down, she landed and the world descended upon her. And she lost her job and she lost her dignity and now she's a Google search hell.
God.
And this deals with all these people who sent something out and how they coped with it. It's fascinating. It's one of the best nonfiction books I've read. So I'm going to recommend it. We'll put it up on Facebook. It's just an intriguing story, really well told, and it's not boring. It's not like a big lecture. It doesn't go on forever, and I couldn't wait to read it.
I might look at that, because actually, if we're talking nonfiction, I've just finished a book. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's the Chief Operating Officer of Facebook, isn't it? Is Sheryl Sandberg. She's written a book called Lean In. Fabulous. Have you read it?
No, of course I haven't. But
fabulous.
But it's kind of like a manifesto for the modern woman. Is that?
But you know what? I found it to be a very empowering book. But I actually think men would find it really
helpful. What was the single most important lesson you learned from that book?
Do you know what? One of the things that she stood about is that people's perception of women who are successful is that she turns the whole thing on its head as how people have this perception that somehow family isn't important if you're successful, but it is. And actually often you struggle more the less time you have with them. You know, that it's finding that balance. But
for
men and women. Yeah. That's what I mean. I think the book would be great for men. But she gives a really, I think she's very honest personally about that she didn't. You know, people would probably have a perception that she sailed to the top and found it easy and she didn't. Mm. And that she has learned things about herself along the way. But I've actually mentioned it to a few people. I was given it as a kind of a gift. I was at a women's health forum and it was about leadership in women, and this was in the goodie bag that they gave all of us. But I found it fabulous. I mean, it's the kind of book I'll reread. I want to meet the woman, actually. I thought she's fabulous. She'd love to have a cup of coffee with her.
Yeah,
you really would.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to somebody the other day about, you know, famous people that you'd love to have a coffee with. Not that you, it's not a crush thing and it's not silly thing. It's just, you really just want half an hour to say, oh, so what's the story and what do you think of that? And she'd be your, what does
Dean and I have our dinner party list. We have these people who we'd love to invite to
dinner. Give us some names on that list.
But she'd definitely be on mine. I'm trying to think now off the top of my head who else Dean we had there. I'm terrible, Ryan. You always put me on the spot on these. I've drawn a blank
now. Come back to me later.
But it's one of these things, the names come up and we always say, well, that's on our list
as
well.
That's on the list.
Yeah, I've never written the list down.
What is the definition of the lean in? What does that mean?
It's about women putting themselves to the table. Like, she has all these, I think one of the most fascinating things she mentioned, and I teach Trinity students and we talked a lot about people's perception and small group and people talking up. And she talks about a study that I think was done in Harvard where they took a description of a woman in business and her personality or characteristics, how she'd succeeded. And they handed out the study. It was the lecturer handed this description out to his students, but he did it in two ways. And he named the woman was Holly and the man was Howard. It was exactly the same person. Mm. All he did was change the name and he handed it out and he asked for people to give their perception back. And they all hated Holly and loved Howard. Exactly the same person. Howard was seen as a go-getter, someone who would be successful, who they'd want to be around and be inspired by. And Holly was seen as basically a name I probably can't say on radio and pushing her way to the top. Yeah. So I thought that was really fascinating.
But the lean in thing, it means...
It's about women not being afraid to put that, like other studies she had, is if you're asking questions in a crowd, and again I'll probably use this, you know, when you give talks and you ask people questions, women are much less likely to raise their hands. So you shouldn't wait for people to raise their hand. You should actually give people the opportunity to talk. So she had just these really interesting ideas about how women shouldn't be afraid to take part, because I mean only 4% of CEOs in the world are female. And so it wasn't a very feminist book, although I suppose in many ways it was, but it was just makes you look at the world and think, actually, you know, you shouldn't be afraid. And I suppose standing out isn't necessarily a bad thing. You know, you should always kind of just put your best foot forward.
Is that a gender thing or is that just a personality? Is that not about shyness? And like some people don't want to raise their hand.
Certainly there are some men who won't raise their hand and there are plenty of women who will. But I suppose she certainly makes it quite scientific. I mean, she's loads of references in there and studies to show that across the board, women are disadvantaged in this and hopefully it's changing. But I just found it a really fascinating read. I actually couldn't put it down.
Well, I'll
so I'm looking for something to read now. Yeah.
You'll love that. John Ronson, So You've Been Publicly Shamed. It's fascinating. Yeah. And actually, it didn't sound good. I think it sounds like something I'd like to have a look at some point. Shall we talk about the other stuff then?
We should talk about medicine.
You haven't heard
we?
H is for Hawk. Have you heard of that book yet?
No, what's
that? Okay, we'll talk to you about that another time. Okay. I won't get into it now because we have work to do. Nina, I'm having trouble sleeping recently, says this message. I've started a new job in January and I'm finding it hard to unwind in the evenings. And I'm thinking of taking a sleeping pill or two just to get me back into the routine. What do you think? I've tried lighting candles, meditation, not being on gadgets for an hour before bed, sex. Nothing's working. I have maybe 3 cups of coffee during the day and people are telling me to cut those out. But I'm not sure if I can when I'm this tired. So they've tried everything.
You know what? I'm really glad at this question, actually, because sleep disorders are something I see all the time. People come into me, they're tired all the time. And classically, one of the things you see is they're not sleeping very well. And actually, it's something quite close to my heart at the moment, because randomly recently, I was actually also asked to be involved with King Coil, or an Irish, fabulous Irish company who make mattresses.
Yeah.
But they also clearly have an interest in sleep. And so we're quite a good match in that they now have me taking part in a sleep blog that they're doing.
Okay.
So it's on kingcoil.ie. We're going to do a blog every month. And really, it's about lifestyle and sleep. So I think this person would probably find logging on to that very helpful. Don't resort to sleeping pills. That's the first thing. Okay, if you can't sleep for a night or two, you know, maybe the odd sleeping pill will help that way. But really, they don't help. They just delay the process.
Okay.
If you take sleeping pills, when you stop them, you're just not going to sleep as well. You're going to find it even harder to go back to sleep because your body forgets. Okay. So the important thing is about what we call sleep hygiene. And I know we've spoken about this before, Ryan, and it's about the room you sleep in. It's about your habits before you go to sleep. So for instance, the caffeine thing, I've always said no caffeine after about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, definitely if you have a hard time sleeping, okay? The other thing is to just exercise is good, but not late at night. In the afternoon, exercise will help you sleep. Late at night, it won't. Don't eat big meals late at night. Your body, if it's working hard to digest food, it's not going to be conducive to sleep.
I was always mystified by families who ate dinner really late. I'm one of these creatures of habit, desperate, getting worse as I get older, turning into, of course, our parents. But when people have dinner at 8 or 9, to me was utterly alien. That's it.
It happens, you know, unfortunately, obviously with launching the new business, I've been very busy and I've been getting home later and I found myself eating later. And to be honest, a big meal late at night over Easter. We had a huge meal over Easter. I lay awake half the night. What time did you have that meal? Well, it was one of those weekends where the food just went on and on, Ryan.
Okay.
We had dinner and then we had, you know, as you do, family call in over the weekend and there was a cheese board late at night. But yeah, eating late is not conducive to a good night's sleep. However, a light snack is, okay? So a light carbohydrate snack, a bit of toast. The old warm milk actually works, okay? There's something in milk that is conducive to sleep. The cup of tea before bed is not, because it has caffeine, so decaffeinated tea is okay. The classic taking a drink at night is actually not good. Alcohol disrupts sleep.
Because your sleep is rubbish, isn't it?
It changes your sleep. You don't get the REM sleep, which is the sleep where we dream, which is your deep sleep, which is actually really important to you wake feeling rested if you have that sleep. So although alcohol will help you fall asleep, it will not help you stay asleep. So all those things as regards what you do in the evening. The room itself is so important. I always say, think of your bedroom as a cave, cool, dark and quiet. Okay, so cool, not too hot. Have blankets that are loose that you can lift up. Dark. The big thing people don't think about is their phones and their alarm clocks. They have the alarm clock facing the bed, but that blue light actually disrupts sleep. So you should turn your clock away from you. If you're in the middle of the night, that blue light will wake you. Have blackout blinds. The same as we say for babies. Keep your room lovely and dark. Quiet, obviously, again. Nothing beeping, you know, don't be trying to listen to music falling asleep again. It's fine, you might doze off, but then if it's still playing, you're going to wake up. You want to just keep sounds limited as much as possible. And then, you know, think about your bed. And I suppose this is where the relationship comes in with King Coyle. But, you know, in the end of the day, I'm not saying go out and buy a bed if you have one you sleep well in, okay? But the atmosphere you sleep in is important. You can clearly, if you go to someone else's house or a hotel and you're sleeping better there than you are in your own bed, there's a problem, you know, because if you can sleep well somewhere else, but you can't at home, it's quite likely it's something to do with the atmosphere you're sleeping in. So it's important to have the right size bed for you. Clearly, if you're very short having or very tall, having a small bed, or if you're very heavy, having a very light bed. You know, there are mattresses designed to carry your heavier people. Certain mattresses will get hotter. The memory foam is really popular at the moment, but actually it can overheat in some people. And the science behind beds is fascinating. I was really interested to see that there's a new technology that has a gel in a mattress that cools you. Now, I think for menopausal women, this is fantastic because I have menopausal women coming into me all the time and they complain of sweating and that they wake up and they're just drenched. And so the idea that a mattress can kind of suck this heat out of your bed and cool you down, I mean, who doesn't want that?
Who doesn't want that? Okay, we'll move on to some other problems that are coming in on text. Nina, I have constant spots around my nose, at my nostril and around my chin. And I've tried lots of creams, but nothing's working. I'm 42.
Nose, nostril and chin. Okay, well, that actually sounds a bit like rosacea, which is what we call adult acne, which is really common in Ireland. And you classically get spots in what people refer to as the T-zone. So across the forehead, down the nose and into the chin. It is genetic. Look at your family. It tends to run in families. Things, again, alcohol can actually make rosacea worse. So to watch that. In some people, sunlight can be a trigger. So again, we got gorgeous weather last week, but obviously protect your skin from the sun. Do talk to your doctor, though. There are treatments we often prescribe initially, just creams and things that you can put on if it's not too bad. I actually suffer with rosacea myself, Ryan. So, you know, I'm well aware of the things you can do to reduce the redness. Often you get these little spider veins and laser can be very effective for those as well. And actually, we sometimes prescribe antibiotics. So it is treatable. However, it is genetic, and it can be progressive if it's not treated. So do talk to your doctor.
Okay, Nina, can you ask? Can you take the 1 gram of azithromycin?
Azithromycin, yeah.
Over 8 or so hours instead of in one dose to cure chlamydia.
No, the answer is no. There's 1 gram chlamydia. It's a straight off dose. It's 4 tablets. You have to swallow them together. It's the dose that you have to take together that clears the drug. If you take it, we actually use azithromycin for chest infections, etc. But the dose is different. You would just take 2 tablets once a day for 3 days. It's a once daily drug. And this isn't just for azithromycin. Some people think that, you know, if they have a once daily drug, that it's 2 tablets to take, that they can split it and take one every 12 hours. But you're not getting the benefit of that because only half the dose is being released.
So it's defeating the
purpose. That 24 hours. Exactly.
Can you ask, Nina, how common is a third degree tear on having your second baby? I had a bad tear on my first. It was very difficult to recover from, and I'm afraid the same is going to happen again.
Okay, being honest, I suppose statistically, I can't tell you exactly how common it is. I mean, I know that obstetricians and midwives do their utmost to avoid a third degree tear in any woman. A third degree tear is a tear that actually tears through the vagina and involves kind of the perianal area. So it's quite a severe tear and requires suturing, and you know it heals, and thankfully in most cases it heals up very well. If you've had a third degree tear, it is quite likely on your second pregnancy that your obstetrician will be very careful about considering a vaginal delivery, about considering the risk of a further tear. And I have seen women who, if they were very worried about a tear, ended up having an elective cesarean section. You know, it would be a reason to have one if they feel that there's a risk to the perineum, which is that area around the vagina, obviously, when the baby's born. So what I would say is, I can't say to you exactly what the risk is. It's different in each person. It would depend on the healing. But don't be afraid to talk to your obstetrician about it. They'd be well geared to deal with it.
Nina, can I take, if you could ask for something to help clear sinus infection. My nose is very blocked. That's...
this time of year, Ryan, I mean, we talk about allergies all the time, and I think I've said it many times, and in Ireland you should start your allergy medicine on St. Patrick's Day. I've had loads of people in sinusy and congested, and it just seems to be the change in the weather is bringing out all our pollens and the grasses. There are a number of things. If you have a sinus infection, obviously you need an antibiotic. But in the majority of cases, nasal congestion is not an infection. It's congestion and inflammation. And the basic treatment is there are rinses you can buy over the counter. There are a number of different rinses. If you ask your pharmacist, you can buy antihistamine tablets over the counter. Nasal sprays, most of the most effective ones are prescription. So talk to your doctor. There are a number of very good nasal sprays. And actually, you often need to combine the nasal spray, the antihistamine and the rinses. And then if you do have a lot of green discharge, if you're spiking temperatures, you may need an antibiotic and obviously you have to go to your GP for that.
OK, you'd want to bring your... like almost a refuse act to the chemist for all that stuff, wouldn't you?
No, listen, Ryan, again, you know, I've no problem sharing that I also suffer with allergies. I think I spoke about that before. So, you know, I totally understand where these people are coming from. You can get the most atrocious headaches from sinuses and, you know, nobody sees, you don't look sick. So it's a really miserable thing to have. But I will also say that I think starting the treatment early and continuing it, that's the big mistake people make, is they feel a bit better and they stop. Those treatments are much better at keeping it at bay than getting rid of it when it's there.
Mary says, my mum passed away 3 weeks ago from cancer, and since then I've been having trouble sleeping and bad dreams. Will this pass?
Mary, I'm so sorry to hear about the loss of your mother. I mean, that's inconsolable. And you're grieving. And, you know, 3 weeks is a very, very short time. We talk about normal grief being a year. And it doesn't mean that you're absolutely fine after a year. But we talk about it takes that time to move through the normal stages. So crying a lot in the first few weeks is actually normal. I would almost say it's actually healthy. I'm much more worried about people who come into me after a month or 6 weeks and say, oh, no, I'm fine. Because you kind of know that they can't be fine. They've just lost a parent. Mm. And that usually will show itself later. So this is the time to lean on people around you. You know, often people will say that they were fine through the funeral because there's that kind of busyness. You've something to do and you've lots of people around. And often it's around what people refer to as the month's mind. That, you know, people have now kind of settled, they're not around as much, and now you're at home, you're dealing with it, you're maybe starting to deal with your mum's business affairs or her personal effects, and that's extremely emotional. So just lean on the people you can, involve friends and family, cry on each other's shoulders, because this is the right time to do that. Clearly, if you're finding it very difficult, you know, bereavement counselling can be extremely helpful in this time, and do reach out for that. But I think you're grieving normally.
Yeah, and that's to be expected. Yeah. Okay, Nina, we'll leave it there for today. Thank you so much indeed for that.
Thanks, Ryan.
We covered a whole range of things between Sheryl Sandberg and...
Yeah, I really want to meet her. If she's ever coming to Ireland, I'd love to know.
Well, if we ever have her on this show or the other show across the campus, we'll keep you posted.
Okay.
Okay, Nina, see you next time.
Thanks.
Thank you.